not only for the beauty of the music, but for the message of the song. That is exactly scriptural and exactly the kind of authority that God wants His church to have in this last hour. Listen, the devil will bully us all over the place if we let him. In our thoughts, with our worship, in our living for the Lord, and anything we try to do in the kingdom of God, he'll be there on your shoulder. Somebody that's wanting the Holy Ghost tonight, he'll be right there telling you, you can't get it and you're not worthy. And look at all that you've done. But you just need to tell him, look at all the Lord can do. Just with a grain of mustard seed faith, we can speak unto the mountain, in Jesus' name, be thou removed. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, Jesus' name faith works. Amen. Authority and dominion. This choir was singing with it. We were worshiping with that same kind of authority. That spirit is here tonight. I believe it's time to resist the enemy so that he will flee. It's not time for those testimonies. The devil's been after me all week. Bless his holy name. I believe it's time to turn it around. We've been after the enemy all week long. Bless the holy name of Jesus Christ. That's what David said. He said, I'm coming to you, old boy, in the name of the Lord of hosts. Woo! Don't you enjoy being Pentecostal? Hallelujah. I don't know if this is good or bad, but I feel good right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was just kind of wishing when this choir was singing, we could have sang at Fox. Wish we could have got in on Ronald McDonald's thing. Woo. You know what Jesus said, don't you? He said, go tell that fox. Go tell the fox. I do cures today. I cast out devils. And on the third day I shall be perfected. I believe they're telling the fox tonight, there's a Jesus that is real. Now let me tell you, I don't think Gateway's going to backslide because they're singing at the fox. I believe they're worshiping and praising and magnifying the Lord. And somebody's got to set a light in a dark place. When they were singing a couple of weeks ago in Northwest Plaza, somebody received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, you've got the extra and you've got the advantage when you have the Lord. Let's thank Him together another time before we read His Word, Lord. We're thankful for Your goodness tonight. Thank You for getting us here safe to the house of God. Thank You for the way You've created us. Thank You for the blood. Thank You for the deliverance and revelation of Your wonderful name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Would you turn with us to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and also 2 Timothy chapter 4. Both of them writings, I believe, the Apostle Paul. Hebrews chapter 12 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. We do welcome all of our visitors that are with us tonight, and we just want you to enter right in to worshiping the Lord with us. And if there are needs here, the Lord is here to meet any kind of a need, any kind of a situation. I'm ready to just let the Lord do whatever He wants to do. I want that to be more than just a phrase. But God, whatever You want to do and however You want to form the schedule and whatever You want to work and however You want to work on us, just do it, Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and the first verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is a race that we're in. And He said, let's run with endurance and with patience. And now to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the 6th verse. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them, and that includes us, folks, also that love His appearing. Noticing the last portion of verse 7, I have finished my course, or race, and I have kept the faith. And I would like to preach for just a few moments on the baton of truth. The baton of truth. God's church has the baton of truth. The truth about who He is that we heard about tonight. The truth about salvation and how to get saved. There's not 100 roads to heaven. There's a one Bible road to heaven. You must be born again. There are not many gods. There is only one God. God's church has had handed to it the baton of truth. I want to get a hold of it tonight, don't you? God bless you, and you may be seated. The baton of truth. Life, many times, has been likened to a race, and that's very fitting. But not only our natural life is like a race, but also our spiritual life is like a race. One of the beautiful things about God's Word is that it is not complex. It is not tremendously deep where we cannot understand it. God chooses to use simple analogies like a mustard seed for faith, or like a race for our journey. So the Lord wants us to understand what we are really a part of. And so He says this spiritual life of consistently living for God is many times like a race. So many times in the Scripture, along with those verses that we have just read, it talks about a race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. We're in a race, church. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, speaking about life, says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise. It is a race. Paul said to the Galatians, ye did run well. What did hinder you? Paul said to the Philippian church, I want to rejoice in that day of the rapture so that I know that I have not run in vain. Here in 2 Timothy, he said, I have finished the race that was set before me, and I have kept the faith. This same writer, Paul, who wrote about the race, goes one step further in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, not only are we running, and is this a race, but we have something that we are running with. You know, it's more than just running. I know we talk a lot about the finish line too, but hear me out this evening now. It's more than just finishing. Paul said, I have finished my course, but when it got finished, I still had the faith. He said in another place, none of these difficulties or bad reports or troublesome times that are around me our struggles, our trials, our temptations that I'm going through move me. I do not count my life dear unto myself, because I want to finish my course. But he didn't stop there. He said, I want to finish my course. You know what he said? With joy. I want to have a hold of something. I want to have a hold of an experience. I want to have a hold of the glory of God. I want to have a hold of the joy of the Lord when I finish. He told that Philippian church, it's possible that I might be running in vain. So I want you to be the light of God in this world, so that when we get to the finish line and we all stand there before the great judge, that he will look on us and say, you have been a light to this world. He didn't want to just run. He wanted to run across the finish line having something in his hand. Now you know, in the Old Testament, there was a time when Israel went into the Babylonian captivity. And they'd been there for some 70 years. And then God moved on the king. And in his plan, it was time for them to come back to the house of God and the city, Jerusalem, of God and the land of God, Israel. So he begins to move on them and they get ready to go back. And in the middle of the book of Ezra, chapter 8, it says that when they got ready to go back at the end of the captivity. Now get this, folks. Captivity was winding up. They were on the home stretch. They were on the last lap of this captivity in Babylon. Can I just stop long enough and preach and bring it on down to where we are tonight? I believe this captivity is wrapping up. I do believe the Lord's ready to come. Soon to come. Not setting a date. Don't know exactly when it's going to be. But in our hearts, we must believe that it's about ready to wind up. There are too many things happening. I refuse to believe anything else. Call me closed-minded if you want to. I call it Bible-minded. The signs of the times are about us. He's pouring out His Spirit. The Middle East is getting ready. I went to hear the Jewish man a few weeks ago who wants to lay the cornerstone of the temple. Now, there are a lot of things that he said, but the best thing and the deepest thing that I got out of what he said was this. I know that that stone is going to be laid and that temple is going to be rebuilt one of these days. And you could feel the depth and the passion of that Jewish man as he stood there and talked about it. There was a yearning. The signs of the times are around us. This captivity is wrapping up. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Williford, what are we captive of? Well, Satan is the god of this world. He's got this world in his captivity, but we're not long for this world. We're not long for the spiritual resistance that tries to play itself against you and I. I'm going to tell you, the devil don't play favorites, and I don't even think he has a favorite time. It doesn't matter when or where, he'll try to put up resistance at any point and any part of your life. But it's all winding up. We're on the last lap of the captivity. Even, I thought about this afternoon and got a little happy sitting back there in the chair. Even gravity. Hallelujah. Woo! The force and the hold and the grip that it's got on me. I want to tell you, the law of the rapture is going to surpass the law of gravity. It may sound foolish to some, but it's going to sound good to a lot of others. I actually believe that if the trumpet had sound right now in this service, we'd leave this old building and this old world. We're on the last lap, and gravity is going to lose its grip. So in that wind-up stretch, in the home stretch, Ezra gathered some men together. Bible says he separated them. The church is always separate. He got 12 of the chief priests. He got 10 of their brethren. And he weighed out to them the utensils, of the tabernacle and the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away into captivity. You see, he not only took the people, he took some of God's goods. But in the authority of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, and as shepherd of this sheep, I want the devil to know that when you get to messing with God's goods, you're on shaky territory, boy. Those vessels belonged in the house of God. And so it was time to go back, and they weighed them all out. They said, here it is, to the 12 and to the 10. They gave them the dishes to take back that the showbread was mixed in. They gave them the spoons or the censers that the fire and the incense was placed in so that they might praise God. They took them and gave to them the bowls that the blood of the sacrifices was held in. They took the goblets and the cups, and they gave it to them that held the wine that was used in the worship of the tabernacle and the temple. They gave it all back, and they said, we want you to take it. We're weighing it out to you. We know how much you've got. We're putting it in your hands, and you're going to be weighed in when you come back to Jerusalem. Now, folks, it's not enough just to make the journey from this old world to glory. It wasn't enough just to walk out of Babylon and walk into Jerusalem. They had to have something in their hands when they got there. They had to have something. They had to have those dishes that represented the Word of God. They had to have those censers that represented praise. They had to have those bowls that represented the blood. They had to have those goblets and cups that represented the wine and the spirit. They had to have it all. Let me just tell this 57-year-old church that when we cross the finish line, church, whether you've had the Holy Ghost 2 days or 25 or 55 years, it doesn't make any difference. When we get weighed in Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, we've still got to have the goods. I don't believe that doctrine that says it's just the new converts that are supposed to worship. Just look around here. You can tell there's a lot of folks don't believe that doctrine. We don't believe you ought to let down on the Word of God. You still got to have the dishes of the showbread when you walk in to glory. The bowls of blood and the goblets of the wine of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that they gave them some instructions. They said, watch ye and keep while you're on the journey. Don't be lackadaisical. It won't do if these vessels get lost somewhere on the journey. And so they struck out and departed. And the Bible says, the hand of our God was upon us. Listen to me, everybody. The hand of our God is upon His church. Say it a little bit more specifically, the hand of God is upon you and upon me. As I preach this morning, we're not alone in this journey. The hand and the mighty hand of God. I'm going to tell you, this church doesn't get its origin out of WEC, out of Hazelwood, Rome, or anywhere else. It gets its authority and its goods from the Lord of glory. Watch and keep. And the hand of our God was upon us. And He delivered us from the hand of the enemy. How many times has the Lord protected you? You said, oh, I want to be faithful. I want to keep praising You. I want to keep this censer in my hand. I want to keep this bowl of the blood. I want to keep this dish of the Word of the Lord. I want to be faithful to Your Word. And the enemy tried to come in against us, but the hand of the Lord was upon us. And the Lord is going to deliver His church. Let me tell you, there is no devil in hell that can rob the truth from a church of the living God. Or from an individual. The devil's not big enough to make you quit serving God, or to keep you from receiving the Holy Ghost. God's hand is upon this church. soul, he said. The Lord was upon us. He protected us. And we came to Jerusalem. And on the fourth day, we weighed in. And we had what we started with. What a testimony. When we finally crossed the finish line. When we cross that finish line, what a testimony. Well, I used to do that. That ain't going to cut it. I used to believe that. Don't lay down the goblet. I used to be drunk in the Spirit. I used to let the Holy Ghost move on me in services. I used to speak with other tongues. When I was a young boy, I had the Holy Ghost, but I don't have it now. Oh, don't let that be your testimony. But let this be your testimony. I've got what I started with. I don't know. I just felt something come out of me towards some of our old timers. I think some of you can identify because you've been in the race for a long time. You gotta have what you started with. I want what I started with. I want what I started with. If I shouted then, I want to shout now. If I believe Acts 2:38 then, I want to believe it now. If I believe holiness then, I want to believe it when I finish. You know, I kind of like to watch those relay races. That four-man relay race. And they got this little thing called a baton. Whew. Runner number one starts. He runs his part. And then while he's a-running, the next runner is ready. The next generation is ready. The next group of young people are ready. The next Holy Ghost-filled group of people are ready. And he hands the baton to man number two. And man number two takes it, and he runs his laps. It's the will of God. It's the order of God. I don't believe any of us are out of sync. I believe we've been born at the right time. I believe we've come into the church at the right time. I believe we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Runner number two hands it to runner number three. Runner number three runs, and he hands it to runner number four. Somebody's wanting to grab a hold of this thing. Hallelujah. Woo! He's about 3 feet from me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I got a tight grip on it. I got to preach a little bit more here, bro. Hallelujah. Oh, I love Pentecost, don't you? I'm going to tell you something about the relay race. It's not the foot crossing the finish line that wins the race. It's what you're carrying. The foot brings you over. But it's not the first foot over. It's the one who has the baton. It's the first baton over. Now there's a lot of folks. Now catch me on this, folks. There's a lot of folks that look like they're outrunning Pentecost. But when they get to the finish line, they're going to be disqualified. You got to run with the baton, and you got to finish with what you're starting with. Go ahead and build those big buildings. Go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Go ahead and get your crowds. Go ahead and look down on the standard. Go ahead and do everything you want to do. But when you finish, you're going to be disqualified. You got to finish with the baton in your hand. Hallelujah.
There was a battalion of Pentecost. Brother Reed, would you get me Acts 2? Please. Chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1. You would read. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. We need to get a better schedule to our services. We need to appeal to the source of folks. We don't need all this dropping out in the Spirit and all this running in the Holy Ghost and all this weeping and crying and all this fervor when you preach. We don't need all that. We do. You want to preach too? Hallelujah. I got a feeling there's a lot of folks that want to get a hold of this baton tonight. But we need the baton of Pentecost. That suddenly there came a sound and it tore up the service. Friend, this is Pentecost. This is Pentecost. Hallelujah. I said this is Pentecost. Put it all over the walls. Put it on a flag. Put it up the flagpole. This is Pentecost. Put it on the curtains. Put it on the pulpit. Put it on our heart. Put it in our heart. It's Pentecost.
There appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them.
Hold on now. I am going to say this, then. Talk to me. We long for the days and we talk about it with everybody. Pentecost started with all in one place. And it sat upon three quarters, half, 75, 95, 82%. Pentecost started with everybody that was hungry and everybody that was desirous and praying. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
And began to speak with other tongues,
yes,
as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together.
When this was noised abroad, folks need to hear about this. Are we ashamed to talk about our services? About our God? About our worship? About our salvation? About this beautiful doctrine? No, sir. We're not about to lay down the baton. It's what we started with. And remember this, relay runner. It's not just finishing across the line. It's what you carry in when you get to heaven.
Go ahead. And were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another,
yes,
behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?
Woo.
And how hear we every man in our own tongue?
Well, they're doing something they can't do on their own. I felt something different in that service. And folks, they say it. Well, I'm saying that we're in trouble. I felt something different here. I felt something supernatural there. Go to that part where they accused them of being drunk.
They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine.
Woo.
But Peter...
Mocking. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Mocking. You know, it's not all time easy to carry the baton. You're going to have some folks trying to distract you when you're running. They were mocking. And they said, they're full of new wine. And they're drunk. I got to thinking about the accusations that were made against the church. You're drunk.
You're mad, they said to Paul. You folks have turned the world upside down. Guilty, guilty, guilty. As accused by the court of the world, let there be a church that still has the baton. You know, it is absolutely good to see a few Pentecostal drunks. Now, God's going to move on folks in different ways, and they're going to respond in different ways. But there is, somebody told me the other night, I said, you know, I ain't been carried out of here in a while. That was a craving. That was a craving. And oh God, help us to get a hold of the baton of Pentecost. What did you feel like the day that you received the Holy Ghost? How did you act when you first got the Holy Ghost? How much fervor and how much desire did you have when you first received Him? I'm going to tell you that same baton had better be in our hands when we cross the glory and we cross the finish line. Let's worship our Lord together right now. Help us, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, folks. It's not in what we possess. It's not in how fast we run. We've got to finish with the baton in our hand. And whatever was handed to us, oh God, let it be said that we still believe and we still have in our hearts. And I feel something for Apostolic Pentecostal Church all over me in the depth of my soul right now. I'm not preaching fancy right now. This is heart. This is heart. God help us when that rapture day comes. It will be said they still believe what they always believed. To looking through those notes of Brother Branding's that are back there. I found one set that went all the way back to 1952. 40 years old. You know what those notes said? God is one. Repent and be baptized. Church, let me tell you, they may look like they're outrunning us by baptizing them any way they want to be baptized. They may look like they're outrunning us by not asking for repentance or requiring the scriptural method, but they're going to be disqualified. I'm talking about anybody, this church or any church, going to be disqualified at the finish line. Hallelujah. I want to get a hold of the baton. Ooh, hallelujah. I pulled out all these, and the very first one I pulled out was an empty one. It's full of blank pages. It was as if God and that old pastor was saying, here, fill it up with the same kind of preaching. Get a hold of the baton, Steve Weatherford, minister of the gospel, saints of God. I don't know about you, but I just believe there's a great cloud of witnesses, and one of them is HWB looking on tonight saying, finish with the baton that you started with. Don't lay down holiness. Don't lay down doctrine. Don't lay down the preaching of the Word of the Lord. I want to tell you, there's no preacher worth his salt that's out to hurt and kill and just step on somebody's toes. But we need some preaching that'll carry us to the finish line with a baton in our hands. What a story to have run all the way and in this last lap in the end time and get to the finish line with no baton. Do you still believe what you once believed? Blood that can cleanse you from sin. The beautiful doctrine of who Jesus is. I want to tell you, this baton says that Jesus is God. I can't match wits with the theologians of this world. But I'm going to tell you, the baton that this church started with says there's one God. And He came in the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Don't lay down the baton. I don't care how logical it sounds and how pretty it sounds and how fast you may be able to run. Don't lay down the baton. And worship and praise. You know, I believe God is bringing His church to a tremendous liberty of praise. I was listening to a tape this afternoon on the way home from church of one of the services in the Cause of the Times meeting. And as Brother Mangan was getting ready to introduce the speaker, praise broke out. And he even tried to stop him, but he couldn't stop it. And it broke out, and it went on and on and on and on. Finally, Brother Mangan got a little word in, and he said, I've been on the phone up to the PA man up there. They brought in a professional man. They have a wonderful system. He said, but I told him, we can't hear what they're saying. He said, Pastor, he said, I got it maxed out. He said, these speakers won't penetrate that praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it rolled on. And it rolled on. And it rolled on. I'm going to tell you, folks, we were born in the fire. We better not settle for the smoke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why do we sit there and say, maybe one more time, or if somebody else does it? I want to tell you, when I got a hold of this baton, I was worshiping God and enjoying Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pretty grates on me, these churches that won't let Pentecostal worship happen. Come on, 13th. We got to let it happen. Then I was listening to the tape of last Sunday night. Here. I heard Brother Reaver saying on one of the tapes that the pastor's probably looking at his watch right now. Now, there's a prophet. Because it was. When I listened to that tape last Sunday night, the choir ministered in song. At the conclusion of the song, in fact, throughout the service. But at the conclusion of that song, worship began to come forth. Remember it? Now, I put the tape in when I was down on about 14th and Locust, coming from downtown. That's where the worship started. I was all the way out on 55, past the two Broadway exits, when finally the man could finally get a word in edgewise. It just kept going and going for minutes, for miles. For miles. You think we worship a long time in minutes. Folks, we worship in miles around here. For miles. It just kept on. And 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 kept on. Glory to His name.
wonderful Savior, Holy Ghost liberty, the power of deliverance, the glory of God. God wants to shake some of our brothers and sisters loose tonight. You've been inhibited. You've been afraid to praise God the way you should praise God. Why don't you get the baton that you started with?
Don't worry, that don't mean a whole lot longer. I'm just catching up, folks. Last Sunday night, I only got to preach 15 minutes. They took it away from me. I owe you folks a few like that, don't I? Worship. Praise. Oh, that ugly devil. That spirit that tries to intimidate me when I'm wanting to get loose in the Holy Ghost and worship God. Or when I set my feet on a doctrine or a belief or a holiness stand and he tells me it's outdated, I want to reach back for the baton. Say, we're on the last lap, devil. We're on the windup of this thing. And listen, I don't believe you change the baton from the first lap to the final lap. But the last leg of the journey, the baton is the same. And remember this, it's not when your foot crosses the finish line only that you finished. It's if you still got the baton in your hand. I watched it a few Sunday nights ago. Hallelujah. It was as if somebody handed little Bentrop a baton. I think her mom and daddy might have had something to do with that. You know, it is better for our kids to mimic apostolic worship and to mimic some floozy, worldly, hellish, whatever. Somebody just kind of handed her a baton. Hallelujah. Goodness, Sammy. When I was preaching up here a while ago, these boys were helping me preach. The next line was one God, and they were already saying it, one God. One God. One God. Friend, when we hand off this baton, young people, y'all listen to me. Y'all live holy. Girls, let your hair grow long. Long means uncut. Men, keep looking holy. Keep living holy. Don't go to the hell holes of the world. Don't listen to that rock music, all that bunch and all that stuff. Don't do it. Don't put that television in your home. Don't do it. You got to stop at the finish line with the same baton. The same baton. The same baton that you started with. Now, I don't care. I'm going to run through the devil tonight because this is the baton that was handed to me. You can cross and get disqualified if you want to. I'm going to cross with the glory, with the power, with the majesty, with the word, with the blood, with the name, and with the spirit. Let's stand together and let's worship the captain of our salvation. Oh, yes.